because we do have to get to the point here that these are going to go or not go, and I'm reluctant to hold up anything when we have already had at least one hearing and we're scheduled for work session. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need you to clarify, if you can, your last stated concern. It seems to me, if I read this right, that indeed you are under the subject to the laws of the other state that you might be arrested in, and it talks in terms of that you would be suspended if you refuse to submit to the test that would be required in that state. And I guess I don't understand, other than the problem you may have with whether or not they warn you prior to saying you must take that test, is there another objection? I mean, if you fail to submit in another state and you're required to and you're convicted, you have no problem. Is that right?
And you're convicted? I have no problem with the reciprocity of suspending as a result of the conviction.
If you're suspended and you think there are inadequate warnings in the other state, you have a problem.
I think so, because there's two different suspensions. My understanding of the law on these DWI cases is that you can have a suspension as a result of either refusing the breath test or flunking the breath test that's entirely separate from the criminal prosecution. It occurs administratively outside the courts. And that, as well as that, you may be criminally prosecuted and be suspended as a result of the conviction, if a conviction occurs. This process, the way I understand it, only deals with the suspension for the breath test refusal or flunk. I have no problem with the reciprocity with regard to the conviction. The problem with reciprocity with regards to the flunking or refusing the breath test is that it's based on implied consent. It's not based on criminal activity. And if the implied consent is a term of art that's different in every state, so to say that you impliedly consent to perform a test in Oregon under Oregon laws does not automatically mean, in my understanding, that you've impliedly consented to do that anywhere in the country. I may be misinterpreting the statute, but that's my understanding of it.
Mr. Chairman, if the law of another state is that you would have your license suspended for failure to submit,
yes,
you would then say that, okay, you can go ahead, or you would lose your license here in Oregon as well.
If you lost your license in the other state,
then I think
you would have to base it upon the loss of the license, which I believe you'd need another amendment to do, which Mr. DiLorenzo has said he's willing to submit. I don't know what you do about the fact that the other state may have different warnings than Oregon. It may be that there is no basic problem with that. I'm not certain of that. I'd like other people who are more expert in the area to
come up
with opinions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, with the understanding that this thing is going to come back right away and it's going to be up for consideration and go, no go, I would urge you folks to try to resolve what difficulties, if any, remain. And I understand apparently there may be an additional further amendment down there to the new language that Mr. DiLorenzo had proposed. And I think we'll be ready to go at our next work session, one way or the other. Okay? Anyone else on 2062? Okay, if not, 2063. Mr. DiLorenzo, you're once again have this opportunity in the leadoff position.
Tony DiLorenzo, Motor Vehicles Division. You have revised written testimony on this. It runs for pages and pages. There's only one paragraph that's relevant. As you recall, this was our bill to tighten controls on people who have mental defects that may have, make it unsafe for them to drive a car. You heard at the last session some serious concerns about the wisdom of requiring mental health professionals to report their patients who they believe may not be able to safely drive a motor vehicle. We have met with representatives of the health division, the mental health division, the med school and the Oregon Psychiatric Association, and on the basis of those discussions, we have concluded that that provision of the bill is unworkable, and we respectfully request an amendment to the bill to simply remove Section 3 of the bill.
Okay.
That concludes my prepared testimony.
Okay, that's pretty clear. We appreciate the additional background information which had been alluded to and about which there had been some testimony. That's helpful to us. Let's see, are there any questions about Mr. DiLorenzo's testimony or the position now in light of their acquiescence, I guess, to the concerns and request that Section 3 be removed from the bill? If not, thank you very much. Appreciate your efforts and meeting with the other folks. Okay. Were there other individuals who wished to testify on 2063? Mr. Jacobson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just very briefly, there's a case decided by the Oregon Court of Appeals in 1986. I gave a citation to Mr. Taylor yesterday. It held that there is no mental disease or defect excluding responsibility, guilty but insane verdict in driving under the influence cases, and it would apply to any other traffic cases that are strict liability, which most of them aren't. Do you have that citation with you, Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
State versus McGuire, and it's, I believe, 78 ORF. I don't have it in front of me right this moment.
Would you like it?
Yes. Well, okay. No, I don't need it, as long as you can provide it to the committee. So it may make this entire, the other sections of the bill relatively unnecessary. I believe Section 3, which was a problem, also has been taken care of by being withdrawn. But I'm not sure if there's any reason for the rest of the bill. If you can't raise the defense of the insanity defense, why do we need to be setting up this procedure to notify DMV of the insanity defense people for these driving crimes?
Well, it certainly presents an interesting question. Have you had an opportunity to review this case or its potential impact with Mr. DiLorenzo, or apparently
no.
Not? If you folks would like to confer briefly at the back of the room, if you think there's a way you could resolve these questions and review the case, please feel free to do so. If we can resolve any confusion or uncertainties within the time allotted to us in the balance of the hearing, so be it. Perhaps we can move forward. But I'm sure they would perhaps like a chance to perhaps speak informally with you regarding this issue. Anyone else on 2063, particularly in light of the position of the division as it relates to Section 3, or any remaining concerns? Okay. Let's set this aside briefly. Members should observe that in response to a request that we had made earlier on the 19th when Mr. DiLorenzo and his associates were here earlier, we have received each of us a profile of uninsured drivers in Oregon, and I'm sure we're going to find this helpful not only for this issue, but others that come before us, and we thank you very much for that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Representative Bauman.
This is a question for the Department of Motor Vehicles. You're up. I wondered, I thumbed through this briefly, the profile of uninsured drivers in Oregon. I went to a press conference yesterday, and I really should have, I should have worn a flak suit, but I didn't realize I was going to need it on the subject of motorcycle helmets. I wondered if you could pull, or if we can track, the number and percentage of motorcycle drivers who are uninsured. I'd appreciate that information. I didn't see it specifically outlined in your study.
Is that information you might have, or do you have any idea at this point? I mean, I know you'll research this issue, but...
Mr. Chair, Representative Baumann, I don't know if we have it, but if we've got it, you'll get it.
I could certainly use the protection.
Thank you. I seem to recall there's been some question about the applicability of PIP benefits or how those are applied, but it's only a partial recollection. Whatever you can do, Tony, we would appreciate.
We'll do our best for you.
We understand that. Thank you. Okay, we've got 2064 before us. Do we have anyone who's here? This was also at the request of the Department of Transportation. This will revise a certain motor vehicle financial laws. Council, do you recall if there were any particular issues or... Excuse me. Go ahead.
Lena Crossley from Motor Vehicles Division. We didn't have any more testimony, and there didn't seem to be any questions on House Bill 2064.
Okay. Council, do you recall or do you notes indicate any proposed amendments or any...
There were no proposed amendments to this bill, to my knowledge.
Okay.
No one has called me since the hearing to suggest any either.
Okay. I guess the only question I might have to... representatives from the Motor Vehicles Division is, if you are aware at this point, and I know there, I understand there are 260 bills still down in LC about to be kicked out, are you folks aware of any other changes that we might expect relating to the financial responsibility laws here that we need to be mindful of before we take some action on this bill today?
Tony DiLorenzo. Mr. Chair, I would not be surprised to see at least one or two other bills dealing with this area. In fact, I seem to recall when I was at the Governor's DUI Advisory Committee the other day, I seem to recall seeing some bill that imposed some additional penalties on driving uninsured, I don't know, vehicle confiscation or something. So I think there are other bills out there floating around dealing with the uninsured motorist. Are or will be.
Okay.
I can't give you specific bill numbers.
I don't know if this was addressed in your earlier testimony or not, and I probably should have asked that question because I'm not sure if it's something that you would necessarily have at your fingertips today, but do you have any sense of how many records of conviction for driving without liability insurance or failure to furnish proof of liability insurance that you may receive on an annual basis?
No, I don't have it. I have that at the office, Mr. Chair, but I don't have it with me. I can tell you, I can tell you as a result of a change that we proposed at the last session, that the number of convictions is up substantially. But I can't give you the exact numbers, and I'll get back to you with that, because we do have exact counts for that.
Okay. Well, if there are no further questions or testimony or amendments on 2064, the chair would be glad to entertain a motion that it go to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Representative Phillips?
Move this bill, HB 2064, to full committee with due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Phillips has moved House Bill 2064 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Let's go ahead and practice here with a roll call vote. Why don't we go ahead and call the roll, if you would, Ms. Fisher?
Baumann?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted, and I'll be off to the full committee. Mr. DiLorenzo.
I have that information.
Hey, okay.
All right. Should we reconsider?
Yeah.
1986, 13,943 convictions for driving uninsured. In 1985, there were only 7,898.
And the sanction for that, if I recall, is a mandatory suspension also, is it not?
No.
The
mandatory suspension follows an uninsured accident.
I'm
That's
sorry.
A one-year suspension. Driving uninsured gets you whatever fine or sentence the court imposes, and then once we get the conviction, we write you a little letter and say you now have to file proof of insurance for 3 years. That's the SR-22 certificate.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I'm assuming that on 2062, we're coming back. On 2063, I'm going to assume, should we also allow maybe a week and a half's time to finally pull that all together so it can go? And at that time, if there were any other concerns that need to be addressed, we'll resolve them at that concluding work session. Thank you all very much for your work and effort and for your patience this afternoon. We appreciate it. And if there's no other business to come before the subcommittee, everyone enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you back next week. Thank you.